let anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Then Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2. Thank you, Father, once again for your powerful and wonderful and blessed and grace-filled and light-filled word. Thank you for how that your word blesses us, encourages us. And Lord, thank you for the fact that your word is you. You are your word. You are the word of God. And as we read your word, we're spending time with you in your presence, listening to your words of counsel, words of blessing, words of power, words of grace, words of strength, and so, so much more. Father, with every passing day, help us to grow in our understanding of what a wonderful gift your powerful word is, what a wonderful gift you are to us. You are King of kings and Lord of lords. You are Heavenly Father. You're the Son of God. You're our Lord and Messiah and so, so much more. Help us to be wise enough to fill our hearts and our minds with your powerful word today and every day and to draw on the blessings that come from it. And help us to live that daily. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Mark Ose. Mark is going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Lord God, thank you so very, very much for your many gifts and blessings to us. Help us to be thankful. Help us to remember where those gifts and blessings are coming from. And give you thanks as you are due. And Lord God, I thank you most of all for your grace through your Son, Jesus, who has made a way for us that we can spend eternity with you in heaven. God, we so look forward to that, and we are thankful, Lord God. We can see your love. We can see your attributes in creation around us. Lord God, help us today and every day to tell people about you and to share your love with them so that more and more people can come and spend eternity in your presence. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark, and thank you again for being a part of our listening family. As we often do, I want to share with you an article that I hope will encourage and bless you, an article basically that's encouraging you to make time during this Advent season or just throughout the month of December to take time to read through all the Christmas narratives found in the Word of God, not just once or twice, but several times, you and your family. The title of the article is Celebrate a Biblical Christmas. And if you'd like to get a copy, please email us. My email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to share the article with you. Again, the title of the article, Celebrate a Biblical Christmas. The Christmas narratives, stories of grace, salvation, peace, and truth. More treasures can be found in the Christmas narratives than just the gold, frankincense, and myrrh found in listed in Matthew chapter 2. The Christmas narratives are simply the Christmas stories found in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and in Luke chapters 1 and 2. They make up the Christmas story. It's in these four chapters that we find from God's Word a treasury of grace, wisdom, salvation, and hope that make up the wonderful and blessed story of Christmas. The narratives that make up the Christmas story are simple yet profound, humble yet glorious, and always full of wonder. They are about normal people yet filled with wonderful and supernatural events. Here in this story, God invades the earth with His peace, His hope, and His gift of salvation, His Son, Jesus Christ. This Christmas season, consider a few suggestions for you and your family that can greatly bless your observance and celebration of the Lord Jesus Christ and Christmas. During the Christmas season, take time to read Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. And when you have finished, read them again. And then when you've finished, read them again. Spend time reading and meditating on them throughout the month of December. Read them as an individual believer, but also read them with your family several times. Parents, have your children take turns and ask each one to read one of the four chapters out loud to you. It's good if you read it to them, but also let them read it to you. Very often they will get more out of it if they read it to you. Also, as they read, allow them to stop and ask questions. And typically, they will have questions, possibly many questions. Children's questions are typically good questions. They help to draw everyone in the family more and more into the Christmas story. In addition to reading the stories, you can listen to them as well. Listen on a Bible app or an audio Bible, a Bible CD or a Bible DVD. Many times during the Christmas and Advent season, just listen to Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and then Luke chapters 1 and 2. Doing this will bless your socks off. Also, if your grown children live away, or maybe you're away from your younger children, perhaps you may want to record your voice reading the story on your smartphone and sending it to them. They may keep it for many years as a reminder of your love for them and God's love for us. So please, during the Christmas season, make it a high priority to read and meditate on and listen to the Christmas stories many times. Take time to do this even in the midst of a time that's busier than many other times of the year. This is just a very wise family goal, even though life is busy. Life's always busy. Life doesn't have a pause button. Yet a family project like this is a great way to, quote-unquote, redeem the time with your family. See Ephesians 5, verse 16. We would be very wise to learn an important lesson from the wise men of Matthew chapter 2. In the busyness of their lives, they were wise enough to put their busyness aside. They took much of their time, spent their money, and spent much energy and effort to follow God. They followed the guiding star God provided to come and find the King of the Jews and the universe and worship Him and bring Him precious gifts. Let's you and I this Christmas be wise men and women. Let's be wise enough to put aside our quote-unquote weapons of mass distraction, our TVs, our computers, our MP3 players, game systems, CD players, and cell phones. Let's put aside some of our shopping, our gift finding, etc., and seek Christ. And you'll always find Him in the Word of God. Now, some believers may read the Christmas stories once or twice during the Christmas holidays, and that's better than not reading them at all. But why only nibble on God's Word when Jesus daily invites us to dine on it? See John 21, verse 12. Taking time to read and meditate on the Christmas stories throughout the Christmas season will be its own reward. It's a gift you can give to yourself and to your family and to Jesus. Let's take the time. Again, the title of that article is Celebrate a Biblical Christmas. I hope that you'll take to heart the words shared here. And again, if you'd like to get a copy of the article, please do email us. My email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to send you the article. Picking up now in the Word of God as we read through the Christmas narratives, picking up in Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. This is a record of the ancestors of Jesus, the Messiah, a descendant of David and of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab. Amminadab was the father of Nahshon. Nahshon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother was Bathsheba, the widow of Uriah. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam was the father of Abijah. Abijah was the father of Asa. Asa was the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the father of Jehoshaphat was the father of Jehoram. Jehoram was the father of Uzziah. Uzziah was the father of Jotham. Jotham was the father of Ahaz. Ahaz was the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh. Manasseh was the father of Amon. Amon was the father of Josiah. Josiah was the father of Jehoiakim and his brothers, born at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the Babylonian exile, Jehoiakim was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the father of Abiad. Abiad was the father of Eliakim. Eliakim was the father of Azor. Azor was the father of Zadok. Zadok was the father of Akim. Akim was the father of Eliad. Eliad was the father of Eleazar. Eleazar was the father of Mathan. Mathan was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Mary gave birth to Jesus, who is called the Messiah. All those listed above include 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the Babylonian exile, and 14 from the Babylonian exile to the Messiah. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Thank you, Lord, again for the wonderful and the powerful and the blessed stories that we refer to as the Christmas narratives. Father, anoint us afresh with a spirit of grace that would encourage us to be wise enough to read and meditate on them many times throughout the Christmas season and beyond. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Receive her King.
Listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Reading through the Christmas narratives, and we pick up now in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, Matthew 2, beginning at verse 1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.'" Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother," the angel said. "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I called my son out of Egypt." Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah. Weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. "Get up," the angel said. "Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead." So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son, Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then, after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophets had said, "He will be called a Nazarene." End of Matthew chapter 2. The Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They use the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write an accurate account for you, most honorable Theophilus, so you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born, for my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterward, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. "How kind the Lord is," she exclaimed. "He has taken away my disgrace of having no children." In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord! How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior! For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home. When it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, Everyone rejoiced with her. When the baby was 8 days old, they all came for the circumcision ceremony. They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father. But Elizabeth said, "No, his name is John." "What?" they exclaimed. "There is no one in all your family by that name." So they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name him. He motioned for a writing tablet, and to everyone's surprise, he wrote, "His name is John." Instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began praising God. Awe fell upon the whole neighborhood, and the news of what had happened spread throughout the Judean hills. Verses 1 through 65, Luke chapter 1. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Christmas narratives. We'll be right back.
There's a man who stands in the cold wind tonight, and he greets everyone passing by with a smile and a ringing bell. And the song that he's playing is his own way of saying, "Love is here." The music of Christmas. And there's a lady who sits all alone with her thoughts and the memories of all that she's lost. When she hears a sound at her door and the song comes to find her as a gentle reminder, love. It's the music of Christmas. So listen, listen with your heart, and you will hear a song in the laughter of a child. Oh, won't you listen for the sound? That all run will be, and their voices like a chorus will sing it so sweetly for us. Love is here. It's the music of Christmas. So listen.
Stephen Curtis Chapman with the music of Christmas. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Continue now reading through the Christmas narratives. Luke chapter 1, picking up at verse 57. When it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, everyone rejoiced with her. When the baby was 8 days old, they all came for the circumcision ceremony. They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father, but Elizabeth said, "No, his name is John." "What?" they exclaimed. "There's no one in all your family by that name." So they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name him. He motioned for a writing tablet, and to everyone's surprise, he wrote, "His name is John." Instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began praising God. Awe fell upon the whole neighborhood, and the news of what had happened spread throughout the Judean hills. Everyone who heard about it reflected on these events and asked, "What will this child turn out to be?" For the hand of the Lord was surely upon him in a special way. Then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy. "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace." John grew up and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he began his public ministry to Israel. Luke chapter 2. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, The shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses, after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. And skipping to verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. Son, his mother said to him, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere. But why did you need to search? He said. Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house? But they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them and his mother, and his mother stored all these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. End of Luke chapter 2. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession, as we've been reading through portions of the Christmas narratives. Thank you, Lord, again, for the privilege and the honor of being able to read your word and read the wonderful and powerful and grace-filled stories that make up what we refer to as the Christmas stories. Father, stir us to be faithful, to make time to read through these several times during Advent season, and help us to listen to you for faith lessons, important lessons that help us not only to celebrate and honor you during the Christmas season, but help us to listen for your wisdom and counsel that helps us to live lives full of faith and trust in you, a Heavenly Father who can be trusted in all situations and all circumstances. And Lord, anoint us afresh with the spirit of evangelism and discipleship. Help us to know, Lord, that the Christmas season is a wonderful time to share the gospel and help people to come to know Jesus Christ for whom we celebrate Christmas. Help us to be faithfully about your business in this regard. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you have never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a wonderful day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step in your life, would you, from your heart, simply pray this prayer and invite Christ into your heart to save you and make you brand new? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray every day. Help me to live in obedience to your word and your spirit every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you gave your life to Christ and prayed that prayer, we want to be in touch with you. Please email us. Joseph@afr.net is my email. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, please be sure and email us. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. And if you'd like to get a copy of the article we shared earlier entitled Celebrate a Biblical Christmas, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get the article to you as well. Hope that you will email us to get it. Again, Celebrate a Biblical Christmas. Thanks for listening, and hope that you will take time several times during the Christmas holidays to read through the Christmas narratives. They'll bless your life. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.